Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines, a place where we take a bit of a deeper look into some of the news stories our reporters have been covering right across the UK today, and stories making headlines in bulletins too. Well, we start with a story that's been leading a lot of bulletins across the country today. And government advisers have confirmed that they're not recommending a national NHS screening programme for prostate cancer. So Chris Hoy and former Prime Minister David Cameron say they're disappointed. Both men were diagnosed with the disease. The UK National Screening Committee says screening's likely to cause more harm than good. Our reporter Liv Thompson has more on this one.
Well, that advisory committee says it's only recommending a screening programme for men with a specific genetic mutation that puts them at higher risk of the illness. Its chairman, Sir Mike Richards, says wider testing would only reduce deaths a little.
We still have to balance that against the harms that can arise from the treatment of cancer, and also the anxiety that may be caused to men by knowing they've got a cancer, even though we think it's one that won't cause trouble.
Well, the news has been met with disappointment from charities, including Prostate Scotland. One of their trustees is Ben Thomas.
It is a small step forward that a small group of high-risk men will now receive screening, but we had also hoped that other groups would be able to benefit from a more targeted approach to screening.
More than 63,000 men in the UK are diagnosed with prostate cancer every year. Ian Baker's from Liverpool. He discovered he had the disease in January this year after he had to push for a blood test. He says he worries that men's health is being left behind.
I know the prostate test isn't 100% reliable. That's the problem. And you know, women go for the screenings of their types of cancers, but it's like, unless we move stuff forward, more people are going to die from this, who aren't unaware of it.
Amy Rylance is from Prostate Cancer UK. I asked her what needs to happen now.
A lot of men don't know their risk of prostate cancer, so we need the government to invest in prostate cancer awareness. And we need to make sure there's really good quality information out there for patients, making sure that we're actually helping people to make good choices.
Next, and I couldn't end the week and not have a Christmas story in, could I? Because it's not far away. I don't want to scare you, but it really isn't far away. Well, the summer heatwave followed by heavy rain and cold temperatures mean that this year's Christmas trees are heavier than last. They're also said to be greener and likely to hold their needles for longer too, which is good news if you're already buying one and have it up. Genevieve Rogers is from Maldon Christmas Tree Farm in Devon. She spoke to our chief reporter, Andrew Kay.
It's been an unusual season for our trees. So early in the year, we had quite an intense heat wave, which stressed the trees out, brought out a lot of insects and obviously caused the foliage to dry out. But the real story sort of happens next when we got hit with that huge deluge of rain, caused all the dry trees to soak up an enormous amount of water. And then this was immediately followed by a deep frost, which essentially acts like a safety mechanism, shuts down the tree system and locks all the moisture inside. It's thanks to this unusual cycle, our cut trees this year are super healthy, excellent needle retention, and customers will also notice they are very heavy, which is a great indicator of how full of moisture and life they are, though it might be a bit of a pain getting it on your car.
People probably assume that the trees are quite similar year on year, but it sounds like wines in some ways. Do we have like 1978 was a good year for Christmas trees? How much do they change each year?
Absolutely, they change a lot year on year. It very much depends on the weather cycle. Frost is a huge part of it. We try not to cut our trees until after the first frost, because that's when sort of all the moisture gets sealed inside, and that's where you get your long-lasting tree.
Do this year's crop look different to past years? Some people have suggested, you know, needles are further apart or branches are further apart. Have we seen any differences?
So I imagine the main difference this year will probably be that the trees look greener, because they've got so much moisture retained in the actual needles themselves. They've got more of a sort of dark green, healthy glow to them. The trees will be hanging on to their needles more, so they'll probably look bushier than previous years.
My kids are dying for us to put our tree up yet, but I've said we can't do it till it's December. We go back to another story from bulletins now, and one that's made national news and was everywhere when it happened too. And a man who fatally kicked and punched a vulnerable pensioner in North London has been jailed for life today. Peter Augustine will serve a minimum term of 23 years for the murder of 87-year-old John Mackey in Manor House back in May. Our reporter in London, Claire Bode, has more from the Old Bailey.
The court heard how Peter Augustine attacked John Mackey in North London over his bag of shopping, with witnesses saying Augustine punched and stomped on the 87-year-old. Following the attack, Peter Augustine stole food bought by the victim, including a box of cornflakes. John died days later in hospital. His family have been reacting to today's sentencing outside of the Old Bailey.
John was a quiet, unassuming and charming man. His loss will always be felt, but his memory will live on in the true Irish tradition of storytelling, and there are still many tales to tell. He will always be remembered with a smile.
The judge said the defendant's disruptive behaviour in court, including yelling from the dock, meant his refusal to attend today's sentencing brought some relief to John Mackey's family.
Now, with thousands of people getting ready for a winter holiday, a mum from Stockport's got a stark warning about drinking spirits abroad.
It's purely for profit and it's risking people's lives. People are dying because of this practice.
Kirsty Mackay died in Bali in 2022 after unknowingly drinking alcohol contaminated with methanol. Her parents, Margaret and James, are calling on the government to put out an official warning to travellers against drinking all spirits in certain countries. Our senior reporter Olivia Davies has been talking to them.
It's sad and shocking, isn't it, to think that even if you try to be careful, you can still fall victim to this.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that you're going to be safe if you're drinking spirits. So we would say yes, absolutely avoid shots and jugs and buckets and cocktails. You can't know what's in them. But actually, even if you're buying a sealed bottle, even if you're drinking in an upmarket hotel, it's not guaranteed that you're going to be safe. So our advice is avoid spirits in these countries. If you want to drink spirits, buy them in duty free before you fly. Have a drink in your hotel room or your hostel before you go out and then stick to beer to stay safe.
And why, you know, people were questioning, why are we seeing this?
Sometimes it happens accidentally because home distilled spirits are not made with enough care. But sometimes it happens quite deliberately when people use industrial alcohol, methanol, to either bottle and put on fake labels or to fill up existing bottles that look authentic. It's a lot cheaper, it's purely for profit, and it's risking people's lives. People are dying because of this practice.
Obviously, some people might still listen to this and, like you said, might still feel immortal and think, oh, it'd be fine, like, I know that bar, or I've been there many times and I'll be fine. You know, what kind of signs do people need to be aware of?
The real danger signs where you should take this extremely seriously is you get visual disturbances and also breathlessness. You must go and seek help without delay. What we're hearing from Kirsty's fiancé and also from other young people who've lost their lives, from their families, is that there's an instinct to go to bed and sleep it off. Please don't do that, because people have done that and then died.
It's so frustrating because there is an antidote and you can be saved, but you have to get there in time.
The Foreign Office said they're backing what Kirsty's parents are saying. Now, Birmingham's new sports quarters moving forward, and the metro extension that will eventually run to Birmingham City Stadium has carried its first passengers on a test journey. It's a key step in opening up access to the site for far more than just match days. Our reporter in the West Midlands, Nadia Ferraris, was on board.
I'm at the Bull Street in Birmingham. I'm boarding a tram that will take one day thousands of fans to the brand new 62,000-seater powerhouse stadium.
I'm Jeremy Dale. I'm the chief exec of Birmingham City Football Club. We're here on the tram because this is the first inaugural journey, which is only two stops at the moment, but we've travelled the first two stops for the tram that will ultimately take all of our fans to the stadium.
What does this mean to you personally?
To be able to be part of something which where you're helping to transform your football club, but also helping the people of your city, is an absolute dream come true.
The tram is now rolling into its final stop. The Powerhouse Stadium is still a construction site, but this route is already preparing for the crowds. For now, the journey ends at Millennium Point, but soon it will end at Birmingham City's new home.
People are being urged to know the devastation that one punch can cause to someone as the Christmas party season approaches. The charity One Punch UK was created by the family of a teenager who died from being punched just once by a stranger on a night out in County Durham. Our reporter Sophie Green's been speaking with them about their Punched Out Cold campaign.
18-year-old Kristen died after sustaining a brain injury from a single punch over a cigarette on the night out in concert. His mum, Maxine Thompson Curl, continues to campaign so that no other family has to go through the same heartache.
He was funny and happy. He was a good kid, footballer and cricketer, and he had his whole life ahead of him. And because of that one punch, and somebody punched him because he didn't have a cigarette, our lives are devastated. You know, all my family's lives, Christian's friends, all very vulnerable, all 18-year-olds.
Police forces are supporting the One Punch UK campaign, which is now in its 12th year, calling for people to think about the long-term consequences of their actions. Jennifer Bushby is a Northumbria Police Chief Inspector for South Tyneside.
So what we would ask is for parents of young people who are going out to socialise for the first time to have those conversations ahead of time, but also if you're out yourself over the festive period and join socialising, if you are met with any violence, just to simply turn around and walk away.
The campaign aims to raise awareness of the devastation one punch can cause and is urging people to think about the long-term consequences of their actions.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. Don't forget to come back here on Monday, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.